This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
We give thanks to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. They said the shout of the King is in their midst. Hallelujah. We give thanks to the Lord Jesus. Welcome everyone again, once again. You know, the matter for the night. We're going to be reviewing two messages from Way of the Heart, SM Flex 2025. We are doing day three evening session by Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu and Mommy Lillian Eguchukwu. You know, that was a great cloud in that meeting. That was a great visitation we had, you know, right from Mommy Lillian's, you know, session down into Pastor Emeka's session. It was beautiful. And we have three powerful men of God. They'll be blessing us tonight with their experience, you know, with a recap of the things that they, you know, brought out. WTHSM Flex has not just come and gone like that. You know, we are also coming again to look over it again, regurgitate, churn it over again, and, you know, so that we can squeeze out all the blessing. So the first person tonight, can you jam it up as we welcome Pastor Gbero to the house this evening?
Hallelujah. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Looking back to those two messages, I know they were power-packed, you know, and Mommy Lillian started by giving a definition of who a witness is. For me, you know, when I heard it, I was like, after all the definitions that we have heard, this dictionary definition, what exactly is there again? But, you know, when you now think about it, you know, you ponder on it, you realize that there are some things also locked in there. A witness is a person. It is first a person. And that person must have seen an event. And then that person can provide evidence of his experience, often in a legal context. And when I thought through this, that when a witness is going to enter the witness box, there are evidences he's supposed to provide. Of course, like the definition here says that it is an experience of what he has seen, a testimony of what he has seen, or a testament of what he has seen. And when he gets there and then he tenders it, if that testimony does not hold water, they throw it out of the court. So at that point, we cannot say he is a true witness. But when the witness or the testimony is accepted, then it becomes a true witness. Then at that point, the person who has stood in that witness box to give such testimony becomes a living witness of what he has experienced, of that event. And I just looked at it that the way I saw it, or the picture that came to me, is that I cannot say I am a witness except the Lord has brought me through an experience of his person, an experience of his way. And Mommy Lillian rightfully mentioned there that becoming a witness, that's to be through a process of making. And I think that the maker also reiterated that witnesses are not born. They are made. At a point where we began our journey, we became born again, we were set on the course of being a witness. And being a Christian, first and foremost, is not just because we are born again. We are looking forward to a time that a Christian will be known, or a character of a Christian will be seen as someone who is living a life, you know, a life that is invisible, who is testifying of a life that is invisible. Hallelujah. Mommy Lillian said it's a process of making, and that process, you know, is a subjective process, a process that will actually subject us, you know, through a certain path that we will not by ourselves, you know, want to go through. You know, he made the reference to a sister who the Lord probably is leading towards a brother. And the brother is uncomely. And the next thing that she says is, sorry, let me look for another brother. Something like that. And then Pastor was saying that it has happened many times that they say they are witnesses. But when they are made to go through that path, you know, when they are made to see that life that is invisible, sometimes they shut their eyes to that life because it is not palatable. Because they cannot seem to bear the rigor, you know, that they will have to pass through living that life. Acts 14, verse 15. So how Paul got to the point where, you know, he became a witness, of course, is through series of leading, right? It's through series of dealing. The previous verse says that between him and Barnabas, you know, they worked miracles, you know, they did a lot of things, you know. And the people that were gathered there, they paid homage to him. From verse 15, it says, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and we preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and sea, and all things that are therein. 16. Who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own way. 17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and with gladness. I just want to say that before Paul got to a point where he became someone that people could actually pay homage to or bow down, you know, for, it's because they have seen a life that I truly witnessed, right? And it is because there have been a lot of suffering that the Lord has passed him through. One very critical thing that Pastor Emeka mentioned is the ministration of salt, you know, and the ministration of light. Pastor practically said that salt, like fire, preserves. And when the Bible says, you know, ye are the salt of the earth, it means that we are meant to be a preservation to the earth. We are meant to be able to rid the earth of the corruption that is there. And before we can be made salt, you know, who are supposed to preserve the nation, who is supposed to preserve the earth, you know, there are dealings, there are processes that they will have to pass us through. You know, these processes, you know, like we all know, it is a journey. And it does not start with the time that we became born again. It is a journey. We all are actually going through different seasons in our lives, in our careers, you know, as a father and as a mother. Sometimes, you know, you look at yourself, you say, I'm not even good enough of a father, you know, because of some things that I'm doing. I'm not good enough of a mother because of some things that I'm doing. But Pastor mentioned something very critical. He said, if you look at Hebrews 11 men, he said, when they were going through those times in their life, it did not seem like those things made sense. But they saw an invisible life, you know, they witnessed to that life and they looked forward to it. It is only because of that they were recorded in Hebrews 11 as men of faith, as people of faith. So I'm just trying to admonish us. It does not matter whatever it is that we are all passing through right now. There is going to be a record or an account of it that because we have lived it through, because we have allowed God, you know, through this, we will be adjudged again, men of faith, men who are going to be called faithful witnesses, men whom the whole nation and the whole world, you know, will wonder at. I pray the Lord will bless us mightily in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Wow. Great. Amen. The next person coming up is a son in the house, Pastor Mustafa Victor.
Hallelujah. Amen. Good evening, Daddy. Mom Lillian's message, we're all blessed, and we thank God for, you know, the Way of the Heart SM Flex this year. It came with a kind of flavor that I feel there are actually messages that we need to keep going back to, you know, to fetch direction, to fetch instruction, and trust God, you know, to indeed emerge as witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I'll just, you know, do a major summary of what I got from my message, which is actually that a witness does not emerge, you know, without going through a process. And eventually in her message, she said that process is actually called suffering. I know there's a way we've defined what suffering is. That suffering is actually allowing God, And to allow God is not easy, because we've allowed sin and death, and we become witnesses of the same. So when you hear, I no go agree, which I find with myself, you know, most times when I'm driving, especially when there's traffic, you know, that thing is not an expression of a witness. When you struggle with your fellow road users, you know, and I see that when I suffer, you know, even to be cheated, you know, maybe the person is trying to drive you off your lane and you just calm down and allow the person. Really, it's a process of becoming a witness. And they're actually in little things. You know, at times, as a married man, there are certain conversations that, you know, that comes up between a husband and a wife. You know, at times you want to become a lord all of a sudden to your wife, you know, but ensuring that you even suffer defeat, you suffer loss. You know, at times the reason why we are actually fighting is because we don't want to be tagged a fool. But when we allow ourselves being fool for Christ's sake, we are actually in that process of becoming a witness. I know quite a number of, you know, things have happened after SMFlex that Momilian's message, you know, kept ringing, that suffering is allowing God, you know, in different matters. Then Pastor Maker also began to emphasize that, you know, witnesses are made, they are not born. And it's very clear that new birth, you are not automatically a witness of a life. We have to all enroll into the school of going through that process. Mom Lillian called it suffering, but Pastor Maker called it tribulation, persecution, trials. And he said that you need faith to become a witness, and your faith must be tried. And why is it that our faith must be tried? So that it can be trusted. That if our faith is not tried, if our faith has not gone through a process, there is no way it can be trusted. And when our faith is not trusted, there is no way we can be handed, you know, the kingdom over to. You know, he now said something very profound. He said, you know, that what raises witnesses are actually salt and light. You know, he said salt within and light without. And salt majorly is for purification and preservation. So meaning, what makes us to be impure? There are actually things of sin. There are things of Satan in us. Those are our impurities. That we becoming, you know, witnesses, allowing the salt of the word to deal with those things in us, is to actually remove those impurities. Then we come into purification, because until you are purified, your preservation is not guaranteed. Recently, you know, I began to see that really I have to also learn how to suffer, even as a criminal. And what do I mean by even suffer as a criminal? Is not every conversation that one should give response to. At times, it's just to suffer it, you know, to be so for now. And he said something very profound. You know, he said we should do all things without murmuring. You know, there are times whereby we carry out even instructions, but with a lot of murmurings, according to the book of Philippians chapter 2, you know, verse 12 to 14. He said, do all things without murmurings. And what? And disputing. At times, you are not even saying it out, but in your heart. And that is where the Lord wants to salt. You see, that thing that makes us to murmur in our heart, that thing that, you know, causes us to dispute even in our heart, those are the impurities that salt must deal with, must remove those impurities so that we can become true witnesses. God bless you.
Wow. That was a profound blessing within a very short time. Thank you so much, Pastor Mustafa. We'll just go straight to the last, you know, person coming up tonight. Can we give it up for Pastor David Odegbaro?
Good evening, Daddy. Mommy Lillian's ministration wrote an atmosphere into the camp. So one of the things she said about a witness is someone who cannot afford to keep to his reputation. She then began to mention that it's possible that you can be known for a certain kind of righteousness among the brethren, but even the very things you are advising others against, you are counseling others against, you find yourself falling into that. And she also said that the same Satan that tricked you to enter that is the same one that will be whispering to tell you and say that you cannot afford, you know, to disclose, to come out. And what she said is that power is available for as many who will take that step of faith to come out. Because, you know, faith is actually a good confession. So, and it was quite powerful that night. That's the first time I've seen an altar call, you know, in that kind of meeting in a long time, you know. And I know that we also experience ripple effects of that ministration for even like the next 3 or 4 weeks, even in church. God's hand was mightily upon God's servant, God's handmaiden, our mama, you know, concerning that. Moving on to our daddy, Pastor Emeka. If you notice recently, faith, the exposition or light into faith has taken another height, another dispensation, another position. You know, I was just waiting as, you know, Pastor Emeka taught, you know, on faith. Faith is not just about getting things. Faith is a life, is a conversation. And I just realized that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, so that's more like my experience meditating and fellowshipping with that message. It says that now, faith is what? The substance. So it's singular. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it says, so it is a singular thing that is, permit me to just say, bearing witness of things hoped for. Because one of the things I've also struggled with, you know, concerning faith is that you might hear somebody say that, oh, you know, I was not feeling fine and I decided I won't take any drug or I won't take a sick day off. I will go out. And suddenly as I was doing out, I was healed. But you might do that thing and it will not work for you, right? So I just realized that faith is many things. It's a compound of many things, because he said that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. From Daddy Emeka's message, I realized that faith actually has a conversation. Faith has, like the scripture says, that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. There's a part of faith that is suffering. You know, faith is light. It gives brightness to our mind, not just our natural mind, because the scripture says that for we walk by faith and not by sight. So it means faith is another kind of sight, which Pastor Emeka said, enduring as seeing the invisible. Daddy has also labored greatly on that. You know, it also teaches us to walk right. It opens up the revelation of righteousness. So when you see somebody say, this is the way I got out of this habit, you understand? I was instructed to just go and open up to God's servant. And maybe, for example, every day, I will check in with him. I'm just giving an example. Another person might be that God's servant, you know, was drunk in the spirit and laid hands on me. And suddenly, you know, a particular affliction left. So faith is a companion of many things that is a curriculum, you know, for us to learn. And it also gives us might for the good fight of faith. One of the things I also wrote as it was teaching, you know, for me, I just felt it rise in my spirit that faith is a conversation, right? Faith is a position we take. You understand? Faith is a confession. Faith is a profession. You know, it is a combination of the substances of hope. And one of the things that Pastor Emeka labored on was salt and light. And Pastor Benro had mentioned that. It is the combination of those two things. I will salt them with fire and with salt. That is a combination of those two things that bring about the raising of a witness. And I now realize that the quality, like Pastor Emeka was preaching, was trying to differentiate between the different types of faith, that the quality of our faith, you know, also depends on the kind of hope that we are fellowshipping with. Because in that Hebrews 11:1 again, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So that means that anybody who is walking by faith, that person has successfully been able to trap a conversation, trap a position, trap a confession, trap a profession, you know, that we can all see visibly, that is giving testimony or witness, you know, to an unseen thing. So the instruction of faith for my brother, for me, might actually be different, you understand, depending on the kind of hope and the purity of our hope that we are fellowshipping with, you know, and also the specific revelation of righteousness that comes to us. Daddy Emeka mentioned that salt and fire, they have something in common that they both preserve. Romans chapter 5. So it says, therefore, being justified by faith. Daddy had taught us that justification by faith is obeying the righteousness, the obedience of faith that comes from the revealed righteousness of that level of faith that we are working on. You know, it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, which comes by the dealing and leading of the Spirit, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. I pray that the Lord would strengthen us and help us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Glory to you, our Father. Honor, praise to you, Son of God. Tonight we have come again, Jesus, at your feet. We have gathered again to you. We have come as a people that want to receive from you, Jesus. We have come to receive from your mouth. We have come to receive from your person. Jesus, you are the very one that we are looking for. Jesus, we want you. We want you and your Father. We want you and your Father. We want you to give your Father to us. We want you to come and minister your Father to us. We want you to come and shine the light of your Father to us. We want to come and bless us with light and judgment. We want you to come and season us with light and understanding. We want you to come and reveal yourself. Come and give what you alone can give, Jesus. Come and show us mercy. Come and show us great and mighty things that we know not. In the name of Jesus, grant unto us open door. Grant unto us access. Consolidate your work within us. Establish your work and revive your work in the midst of the year. In the name of Jesus, show mercy. In the name of Jesus, grant the great prince to stand and minister. Give Son of God, the great prince, stand and minister. Minister things that are living. And minister things that are abiding. Minister things that are true from your very tabernacle. Send your lights. Send your truth. Let them bring us and lead us to your tabernacle. Even the true tabernacle. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for liberty of your Holy Ghost. Thank you for liberty of your Spirit. Thank you for authority of your word. Thank you for simplicity. Thank you for application of your word. Thank you for establishing our heart. We give you praise, our Father. Honor you, Son of God. Honor to you, Son of God. A big amen. There are things that God wants to place emphasis to us as an assembly. When God is speaking, when God came to the churches, he spoke particularly to each church. Let him ask, have ear. Hear what the God is saying unto the churches. Then he said to the church of Ephesus, said to the churches. Then he now began to narrow to the angel of the church, right. So there's what the Lord will be speaking to us particularly. But as he's speaking to us as a corporate assembly, also there's what he's going to be speaking to you as individual, as you as an household. So I have some few thoughts that he has been breeding my spirit. But I felt that we need to do a very strong justice to witnesses. It's not different. Then everything is supposed to end in witness. It's supposed to climb us into being a witness. Not just witness of what you have seen or witness of what you have heard or seen. But much more a witness of life. A witness of men that are living the life. Which are higher than eyewitness. You can be an eyewitness. But you may not be a life witness. You are a living witness. You are living it. A witness has come by reason of embodiment. You have embodied it. So, the animal that has embodied the life is higher than a witness of an eyewitness. Like, Jesus Christ moved beyond an eyewitness. All the apostles of Jesus and all them that follow Jesus, disciples of Jesus, the apostles of Jesus, and there are disciples of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus are many. And out of these disciples, he chose the 12 to be apostles. But there are those who were not part of the 12. One of the reasons why, when they wanted to choose the replacement for Judas Iscariot, one of the conditions they said that those who have been with them and the witness from John the Baptist, he said, beginning from the baptism of John unto the day that he was taken up, must one be ordained to be a witness. Because what must constitute must be eyewitnesses. But Jesus, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, was not an eyewitness. Jesus Christ was a faithful and true witness. And a faithful and a true witness is the one that cannot lie. When you're a faithful and true witness, it means a witness by your life. You embody it. You are not just one that has witness. All the apostles of Jesus, they were eyewitnesses. An eyewitness is higher in court than a man that hears alone. Because you can say, I heard it. But when you're an eyewitness, you are stronger. Because you can say, I heard there was a noise. Say, what do you think? And I heard the noise was the person that was shouting. But they said, do you see? No, but I heard the noise. They will take it, but it's not as strong as someone that sees with his eyes. But beyond a nice witness, there's also a stronger witness, an experience, someone that experiences and embodies. And that is what the kind of witness that God wants to raise. God is not interested in just raising eyewitnesses. God is not raising witnesses that are what they hear. In fact, there's no longer eyewitnesses in our days. The people that God is raising are those who the Son is revealing them. Those who have embodied and experienced the Son are what in them. The early church and the early apostles were eyewitnesses, but God in this day is raising faithful and true witnesses. And we saw that those who are supposed to be witnessed by experience, by their life experience, must be good witnesses. Because, and that was the category that both Paul and Timothy fell into. Paul himself was also a witness by the reason of Acts 26, of both what you have heard and you have seen. And shall make thee a minister and witness both of those things which thou have seen. So, Paul himself was a witness of what he saw. But we know that what Paul saw was not on the way to Damascus. Because he didn't see any person when he was on the way to Damascus, when he was recounting it in Acts of Apostles. He said, I only hear the voice, but I see not he that speak. So he didn't see. That's why he had to ask, who are you? So he did not start seeing, but there was a promise that was made unto him when Ananias came to him. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, 16:17. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then I went his way and entered into the house and put his hand on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as he had been scathed, and received sight forth, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain day with the disciples that were in Damascus. So you can see that the ministry of Ananias to him was just two things. To receive his sight and to be baptized of the Holy Ghost. That was just the ministry. So I would just say that Paul did not see. He only heard. And the men that also were with him only heard. In fact, that night, he said the men were speechless and hearing the voice. But when Paul was recounting that, he said the men that were with him, they did not hear. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. But when you read verse chapter 9, he said they heard. I felt that what he said they heard there was his own voice replying to the voice that he was hearing. Because I know later he recounted it here. But he was the one talking here. Luke was the one that wrote Acts 9. But it was Luke wrote his own repeated speech. What when he was recounting before in what? In Acts 22, before Festus and Felix. So he was the one recounting. So really, he was the one that heard the voice. Because he was here, he was talking. So why persecuted me? Where are thou, Lord? I am Jesus. He was one that was hearing. But the people that were with him really saw the light, but did not hear the voice speaking to me. So the voice that the people did not hear is the voice speaking to me. But the people hear his own voice that was talking to the voice he was hearing. That one said to me, and the man who journeyed with me stood speech there, hearing the voice, but seeing no man. And so I felt that hearing the voice there was his own voice they were hearing. And they that were with me indeed saw the light, 22:9, and we are free, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. So the voice I didn't hear is the voice of Jesus that was speaking to him. But they were hearing his own voice that was replying Jesus. So it was glaring that Paul did not see. But that was not the last time that he heard. Because immediately after this, in that chapter, out of chapter 9, he started to stay extra days and gathered with the 10 brethren. And he went and started preaching Jesus. Then he had a vision. He had a vision, that chapter 9. He had a vision. Jesus told him, get out of this city, for they will not receive your witness. And straightforward, he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, it's not this that destroyed them which call on his name in Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, this is what he was reporting in that verse 9. So when I came to Jerusalem, Paul spake of this thing in Galatians 1 and 2. In Galatians 1 and 2, he said, when he pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. That I might preach him among the heathen. He didn't travel to the heathen. He left Damascus because Damascus is one of the provinces. So he left Damascus and returned back to Jerusalem. So he's still extra day, according to that, at 9 in Damascus. I would say he assembled with the church in Damascus. And straightward, he preached Christ in the synagogues. So the other, Damascus has many synagogues. So it must be a city. Those were Southern Kingdom that Assyria came to overthrow. So he went to Jerusalem to start preaching, but the disciple did not accept him. He said it in that 9. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he has sent to join himself to the disciple, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them, I have seen the Lord in the way, and that he has spoken to him, and I have preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of Jesus Christ and distributed among the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. And which when the brethren knew, they sent him down to Caesarea and sent him toward Tarsus. So when he was reporting this in a vision in 22, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even where I prayed the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they knew that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, so this was the second time Jesus was appearing to him. So the first time it was in a vision. That explained that he had was a vision. The second time was of a vision. So it was a vision. He said unto me, depart, for we send thee far as unto the Gentiles. And they gave him all this unto his word, and they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. This is when he was defending himself. So this experience that Paul quoted, he referred to this in Galatians 1. So God told him, don't stay with the Jews. They won't receive you. They can't receive your testimony about me. Because they had already, and means them, testimony of eyewitnesses. You remember Thomas? For I will not believe until I see him. So there were witnesses, there were apostles that were eyewitnesses. Eyewitness of Jesus from the day he did his water baptism. And to the day he was taken away. They knew where Jesus was buried. They knew where Jesus was. So they were eyewitnesses. Paul was not an eyewitness. Paul was only was a witness about what he heard and by witness of visions. That's why in 2 Corinthians, thank you, Spirit of God, Paul was talking about himself. He said, now I will come to vision and revelations of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 12, it is not expedient for me darkly to glory. I will come to visions and revelations. So, the way Saul was introduced to Jesus was through the way of visions and revelations. Revelation means spiritual understanding. You also find that same thing in Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, give it to me, to you, word. Want to go, everybody? How that by revelation, he made known to me the mystery as I foreknew in few words. Then verse 4-5. What is it? Can you see revelation? Can you see?
Yes, sir.
Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So his own door of witnesses was through the agency of the Spirit, not eyewitnesses. An agency of the Spirit capitalized on two things: visions and what? And revelations. What is visions? Out of Apostles chapter 2 and Joel chapter 2. When Peter was quoting Acts 2, 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Want to go, everybody? I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Man, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. So the first thing that began to happen to Paul was visions. Then he moved from visions and moved into revelations. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is expedient for me that lest to glory I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. That I knew the Lord by visions and revelations. But there are those who knew the Lord by high witnesses. Galatians chapter 1. But when he pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So, the mystery, Colossians 2:2, make mention of the mysteries. So, all the mysteries were through the doorway of revelation. That's how Paul came into it. The issue of the Father, Peter, and the 12, came to him by the ear, and they heard a voice. Peter was saying that in 2 Peter 1. For we have not believed cunningly devised fable, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. When he received from God the Father. So the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the Father, they were eyewitnesses. They were eyewitnesses in Jordan when the dove came and rested upon him and abode with him. They were there when the voice came, this is my beloved son. Everybody heard it. They were there when it was the mountain and the cloud came. He took Peter, James, and John. And he told them that the tree should not speak it until he is resurrected. So later they spoke it to all of them. Eyewitnesses does not address dullness and foolishness of heart. It will take revelation to address foolish, fool. That's why even after Joker, these two disciples, they have seen Jesus. They knew him as witness. So he appeared to them, but they still did not see him. He revealed his scripture to them. He took them from Psalm. Because this Luke 2 continued from them. That night, they went back and saw where the disciples assembled, the apostles. And then now said, truly, Jesus appeared. And when they were talking, he appeared again that night to them in their midst. The Bible said, he was seen at once by 500. So Peter and the 12 were eyewitnesses. But Paul, Timothy, we are not eyewitnesses. So they knew the Lord by visions and revelations of the Lord. But he said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knew such a one caught up in the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knew after he was caught up to paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not love for a man to speak. Of such a one will I glory. Yet not myself, I will not glory, but in my own infirmity. So when Paul was talking about here, he said, because of the abundance of revelation, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him. So Paul, when he was talking, he said, I come to vision and revelation, he's talking about himself. So there was a doorway of visions and revelation that produced another kind of witness. And other kind of witnesses that we are eyewitnesses. But the witnesses of visions and revelations, we are higher. Witnesses that Paul came into was higher. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14, 15, 16. For the love of Christ concerneth us. Because we thus judge that if one die for all, then we are all dead. Because what the eyewitnesses testify to, what is suffering, is death, is what? Resurrection, and is glorification. But look at Paul here. For the love of Christ concerning us, because we thus judge that if one die for all, then we are all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should not as well live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them. And rose again. So you can see that there were those who know Christ after the flesh. But yet now, so when I say we, was talking about their Jews, their company of them. But now, henceforth, knowing him no more. So Paul, though Paul was a Jew, but Paul never met Jesus. Paul never met Jesus physically. He never knew Jesus. Neither was Timothy. But by the reason of Paul and Timothy not meet Jesus in the flesh, that did not disqualify them, either me or Timothy, to be part of many witnesses that had good profession because of the blessing of revelation. So you see that Paul labor was a through the ministry of revelation, they can produce witnesses. Through the ministry of revelation. Through the ministry of revelation. And it was not only Paul and Timothy that came into that ministry. Likewise, Apostle John, who was both an eyewitness, moved from being an eyewitness and moved into a witness that was through revelation. That's the lesson of the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. Send and signify it by his angel unto his servant John, want to go, who bear record. Look at this. That word record means who bear witness of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus. So John bore witness of the word of God. This was John was an eyewitness In fact, he was one of the people that used to sleep on the bosom of Jesus. But you saw here that they were no longer contented in just an eyewitness. We are limited in their hearts. Like those who saw Moses having a veil, and until this day, when Moses is read, the veil remains untaken away. So we saw that same thing happen in the Old Testament, that the veil remains untaken away. And those that do not have the veil that the children of Israel had were the prophets. The prophet didn't have the veil that was upon the children of Israel. And what made the prophet not to have the veil that the children of Israel are, it was because they interacted with the law, with the strength of the Spirit of Christ, who was bringing vision to them. No, they came into visions. I was trying to complain. And you can't have vision without the Spirit. Because Joel prophesies it. I pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions. Young man. So you can see that ministry of visions was what gave the prophets of old. They read the law, but they were not limited by the law to have the same veil that was upon the children of Israel to still remain on them. Because of agency of the spirits. The agency of the spirit. The activity of the spirit. The activity of the spirit upon their heart. So you saw that the prophets were witnesses. The law and the prophet, they testify of me. Or they bear witness of me. So the prophet became witnesses. Because why? Because they go beyond just seeing with your physical eyes. Activity of the Spirit was upon their soul. Though the prophets, most of them were not living in the dispensation of revelation or in the season of spiritual understanding. But because of activity of the Spirit upon them, even when they don't understand, they ask them, like Zechariah. Oh, son of man. Say, sir, I do not know. And they will keep explaining to them. For the basket is this whole thing. So, they are an advantage to, I explain what they call foretaste, although not in his full strength. The prophet had opportunity to have a foretaste, not in his full strength, of the ministry of the New Testament, which is the ministry of revelation. Because it is until you turn to the Lord. And who is the Lord? The Lord is that spirit. So what made the prophet have a better edge than the children of Israel? Because they know how to turn to the spirits. They turn to the spirit. For if a man shall turn to the spirit, the veil shall be taken away. Though there are people that walk with Jesus for 3 years and a half, but they had veil in their heart. So they were eyewitnesses, but they could only be eyewitness of Jesus in the flesh. They lack understanding of the work that God has done on his inside. So they could not have breakthrough into the constructs of Jesus within. So they lack understanding, breakthrough, to see the work that God did in the Lord Jesus. So it took the prophets. When you read Isaiah would say, who have believed our report? So as I was describing, he bore our sin. He was made sin. For he shall pour his soul for sin. He was describing the soul texture and the soul make of Jesus. He was describing the soul of a being that had not been born. A big amen. Amen. So you could see that they have eyes to see into Jesus because they were prophets. They were seers. Whereas the children of Israel, when Jochas came, they could not see him. But the prophet that wrote before his coming, they could read him. So you saw all the apostles, the first apostles, and all the disciples that followed Jesus, they saw Jesus. They were eyewitnesses. But it is not an eyewitness that cannot lie. Although we need the place of eyewitnesses, but the 12 apostles outside Judas Iscariot did not stop of just being eyewitnesses. They came later to be witnesses by revelation through the door of spiritual understanding. Because spiritual understanding will raise you a better eyewitness. It will raise you to be a good witness. Like he said, fight the good fight of faith, Timothy 6:12. And lay hold on the eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. So that's what you are being called. When they are also called. And are professed a good confession. So you see, they were called and professed. That means, by this reason, Timothy has fulfilled his first calling. And what's his first calling? To be what? A good what? A good witness. To profess, a good profession. And I say a good profession is a profession of godliness. And this good profession is not knowing Christ after the flesh. This good profession is knowing Christ in the spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. Wherefore, so know we no man after the flesh, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Yet now, so know we no man after the flesh. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. So it shows that call to come to become a good call, a call as a good profession, wherein you have called a monk, or profess a good profession before many witnesses. So, Timothy have joined the company of them that were not those who knew Jesus after the flesh. There were many witnesses already of that. Because you cannot profess a good profession or you have responded to the call if what you are reckoning is seeing Jesus as if with your physical eyes. How do I know? Among these many witnesses is the grandmother of Timothy and his own mother. And what this mother and grandmother of Timothy had was the unfeigned faith. An unfeigned faith is not a life of the flesh. According to Galatians 2, is the life of Christ. It's Christ that now liveth in me. And Christ cannot live in you if your eyes of understanding has not been enlightened. So, if Timothy is now professed a good confession among many witnesses, it shows that there are men that we are holding mystery of faith and have fought a good fight of faith. And so, Timothy too have joined there were many. He too has fought. He said, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and art professed a good profession before many. There are many that have fought this fight or are fighting this fight. Men that have used the faith that Jesus authored and used and have attained. Because they have attained. For there to be many witnesses, they have attained. They have attainments. So if they have attained, it shows clearly that these men are very, 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 very distinct. When I say they are very distinct, in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 14, let's read from verse 1. The fool has said his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. But as at the time that Paul wrote to Timothy, said they were ready men that have good profession. They have attained it. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. So the Lord is looking down from heaven to see men that have professed good profession. Upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. So you can't seek God if you have not attained a state of understanding, which is the mystery of revelation, understanding. And you cannot be good without this journey. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So, yeah, we see that anything that has feet cannot be good. Feetiness, uncleanness. We not make the Lord, when he looked down. That's why the Lord, the Son, does not come into the sanctuary as the messenger of the covenant. Now, I say, you can be, have attained godliness without contentment. It's contentment, which is a great gain, that trapped the messenger of the covenant into the sanctuary. So, the Lord, there is fitness, and fitness, there is called the unclean. So, a man might have been purged from worldly lust. What they call fickleness is ungodliness. So, fickleness does not make a thing good. And you know that fickleness is divided into two. There's a fickleness of the flesh, and there's a fickleness of the spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 1. Having therefore, these promises, dearly beloved. And what are the promises? One of the promises in seas is that I will receive you. But I can't receive you until you come out from among them and be separate, which is the first commandment, which is worldly lust. And the second thing, and touch not the unclean thing. The unclean thing is the fittiness. That is where I will receive you. That is where adoption takes place by the messenger, by the Son, coming in the sanctuary. So a man might have got rid of what he lost. But he still has unclean. Clean thing. When the Lord looked from heaven, according to that psalm, he cannot see that it's good enough. It's not good enough to be adopted. It's not good enough to be received. He has not fulfilled the first call. He has not fought the good fight of a finish. That supposed to make him to profess a good profession. When Paul went to go and put that Ephesians, it was very terrible. He put it in Ephesians chapter 5. Let no fitting communication cut out of your mouth. Neither let fitness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient. Because under this place, he was saying that they that do those things do not have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ.
For you know that no warmonger, no clean person, no covetous man, who is an adulterer, had any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. One of the things that the Lord must take care of in the sin of Christ is to take away filthiness. Filthiness. Unclean. The unclean. We saw this being done to Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 6. Isaiah was a prophet that spake about Christ. The suffering of Christ, the mystery of Christ, he captured the visions of Christ. He captured that vision of the Lord. But he was limited. One of the things that they needed to address is to address his filthiness. And you see, his filthiness there was not in his garments. There was Joshua the high priest that had filthy garments. His filthiness was in his mouth. It was in his lips. So you can see a man, a soul that they are poured out of you, what they lost. Lost of the eyes, lost of the flesh, and the pride of life. But you are still filthy. You are still unclean. And one of the major plays that they must make us clean is with our mouths. One of the sins of the children of Israel that was recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, having eaten the bread, which was Christ, and they drank from the rock, which was Christ, also water. So they have opportunity of partaking of the word, the word of Christ. So they have the water and they have the bread. But God was not pleased with them. It's that they murmur, they complain. Those things were uncleanness. They have issue with lust. They say they lost after everything. So they have lust, issue of lust. 10 times you are 10, tell me. They have not dealt with worldly lust in them. But beyond worldly lust, one thing that they expected, that the drink from the rock, a rock, and the bread from what we have done, is to treat their complaining and murmuring. So when you hear the word fitness communication, fitness communication is not only lying. What we talk about, lying not to one another. In Ephesians chapter 4. Seeing that you have put on the old man. But fitness communication sometimes has to do with our mumbling, complaining. When we are talking about fitness communication in chapter 4, they say, but rather the giving of tithes. So they connected that something can be unclean by what you are saying. You may not have issue with lust anymore. They might have poured away lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. When you are going through things, because sometimes some of the children of Israel, they are complaining, and the moment is that they work for 7 days and they don't have water. The response of us, the water was not a lust. They were testing genuinely. But the answer was not complaining. The answer was not murmuring. The answer was to give thanks. But God sees that thing as ungodliness. God sees it as ungodliness. God see those things as ungodly. These are people that cannot be governed by the spirits. That means they lack self-control. And godliness is a spirit-controlled life. Godliness means spirit-governed life. A life that is governed, a life that is subjected to the Lord's spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That means this man cannot be subjected to the Lord through them. Where pressure will make you to talk what you do not talk. We find that same thing being repeated also again within the world. The 10 spies that went to go and spy out the land. It was their confession. Yes. For we are like grasshopper. It was their confession. Because the true work is to deny worldly lust and ungodliness. A man might have denied worldly lust, but the state of ungodliness is in the soul. And the state of ungodliness is an uncleanness. Ungodliness is a fitness that will not make Christ. We not made the Son of God to see you are good yet. You don't have what he lost. You have denied what he lost. Lost of the eyes. Lost of the prayer of life. But you are yet to be good enough. I say something. Anything that will be good must be contented. What did I say contented is?
That nothing in this world is competing.
I said there's nothing is competing with the world. Well, with the seeking of God in your hearts. Even when there's no water. God expected them not to speak. There must not be any competition in the heart. That's what it means when you say man is godly. And that's why you say the man is what? Well, he's godly with a contentment. He's a great guy. He has gained greatly. Such a man, God said this man does not have uncleanness inside of him anymore. This man does not have fitness. He's good. He's a good being. You can take this man and admit him into the most holy. where you will make him, where he will not only be having a good profession, he can have good profession, which is a kind of God in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partaker of heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. For there is a good profession that you must first of all profess before you can move into our profession. Profession of the high priest. So at the time that Paul was writing to Timothy, there are many witnesses of good profession. Many in the churches. Man, that revelation of Christ has become a norm in the church. Because you have to remember that Timothy was writing to, Paul left him in Ephesus to appoint elders. And one of the things he made mention to them before he appointed elders, that they must be men that hold the mystery of faith with good conscience, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Likewise, must the elder be grave. So this was what the commission. So to Paul, that whole region of Ephesus, because Ephesus was not just one church. It was a region that had different churches. They were those elders. They are men that are becoming witnesses. There were many of them. They have used the mystery of faith. They have fought a good fight of it. They have attained good professions. Men that have good professions. Out of a pure heart, they call upon the name of the Lord. So you can see that God is desperate that he wants to produce the first class of witnesses, which are good witnesses. Good witnesses. Good witnesses are witnesses of Christ. Because there were many of them. And our generation, I also see the Lord raising many. So we saw that one thing that will not make good witnesses to arise is fitness. Let's see Psalm 53. Just like that's Psalm 14, that verse 1. The fool has said, he said, there's no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that do it good. So you see that the state of man is trying. So there's a first issue is the corruption and abominable work. So that don't make them good. The Lord now looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there's anyone that did understand and say good. The verse 3, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. So you know that filthiness is lower than being corrupt. Talk about two conditions of men. That's why we must have two callings. From being a good profession and moving to the good profession. So you see the same thing in that Psalm 53 again. I just want to see that there are two estates that man fell into. And that God wants to raise witnesses out of those two estates. The fool has said his heart, there's no God. Corrupt are they. And I've done abominable iniquity. So you can see it's iniquity. You have to know there's what? There's law, sin and death. And there's iniquity. Find that also in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 from verse 17. What then shall we sin? Because we have not under the law, but under grace, God forbid. Know ye not that the woman you yield yourself to, someone you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were a servant of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became servant of righteousness. That's the first thing. Being free from sin. Then you move into the second layer of things. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you are yielded your members, servant uncleanness, and to iniquity, unto iniquity. So the first thing that they free us from is from what? From uncleanness, which is the pinnacle or the peak of the mystery of Christ, which is godliness with contentment, freedom. But there is still other thing they must deliver us from. And what is it? What do they call it? Iniquity unto iniquity. So the state of iniquity is what they call the state of being corrupt. State of iniquity is what they call the state of abominable works. You are not just gone aside or gone astray. So you call it in 14, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is not a dog good. Corrupt are they have done abominable iniquity. So you call it abominable works. Yeah, you call it abominable iniquity. There is not that do a good. God looked down. He said the Lord looked down from heaven. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there is any that did understand and that did seek God. Every of them has gone back. So he said, gone aside. They are all together become 50. There's none that do a good. No, not one. Verse 4, 5. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? So you see that they cannot treat iniquity without knowledge. So you can see that there's when God wants to start addressing iniquity, they must open the doorway of knowledge. Who eat all my people as they eat bread? And they have not called upon God. They were there in great fear, where no fear was, for God has scattered the bones of them. So, though heaven might have purged a man from fitness through the activity of Christ, but that has not yet fully taken away corrupt thing inside of you. Psalm, divine corruption as abominable works. In chapter 53 of Psalm, he called that thing abominable iniquity. Why do men do for uncleanness? They didn't put what they lost in that Romans 6. They just call it sin. And move it to what? Uncleanness. To iniquity, unto iniquity. That uncleanness is ungodliness. The progression of the work is that they cannot address corruption, evil work, iniquity, without open a season of knowledge to you. God must start with knowledge. And why knowledge is important, so that they can fulfill your high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To be a witness of the Father. To be a witness of the Father. Iniquity will not make you become a witness of the Father. Or to be a witness of God. To be a witness of God the Father. To be a witness of God the Father and the Son. What you have to war against, what you have to do again, both the problem of iniquity is that you are not doing good in both in 14 and 53. And also, when you are a man that turned backward or have turned aside, it's still what you are not doing good. There's no one good. So now I say something. I say, when you obey Christ's curriculum and you are changed and converted and you attain godliness and contentment, I say you are a good profession. And when you were they deal with iniquity, you become the good. It's still good. It's the doing of good. It's not easy to eat that which is good. You can't be good. You need to eat that which is good. There must be activity of mercy upon you. You need to eat that which is good. Before you can do that which is good. If you don't eat that which is good, which is Isaiah 55, you cannot do that which is good. That's why in Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 8, he said, before the child, we have knowledge. To have knowledge. In 7, it says, to know. Verse 8, to have knowledge. That it. For before the child shall have knowledge, to cry, my father and my mother. The ridge of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. Then when you will not go down, they say, because of the abundance of meat. Shall come to bar for the abundance of meat that they shall give thee, shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. Butter and honey shall eat. So what people say, to know to refuse evil and choose the good. Now you saw, there's a good and it's the good. Christ is a good profession. Before you can start making to choose the good, you need to eat some things. So the provision of good does not come until you have attained a good. The message of the covenant has come into the sanctuary to come and see that there's no uncleanness in you and they receive you. And as they receive you, they will feed you before knowledge. They will feed you with sincere meat of the word. We take a soul that takes sincere meat of the word that can eat that which is good. Because there's something you must eat before knowledge. Because good is knowledge. So you must eat something first to prepare you to partake of the good. And what you eat is butter is abundance of milk. But this milk is systemic. And this milk is only for those who have attained a good profession. Those who have attained godliness with contentment. It is for souls that have become a witness, a good witness of Christ. The Lord from heaven, that even means God will look into the sanctuary and see that there are people there. He will look there. If they are not there, he will not come. Not that they have attained godliness, but have they attained godliness with contentment? Have they attained godliness with contentment for the purpose of blessing them? Peter was talking about those that go back. They return back to their vomits. They return back to their fitness. So you are not good until they have taken away all your fitness. Fitness of this world. They will cleanse them from fitness of this world. Fitness of the lost. And all uncleanness. For he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, from Israel. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life. What is life? Colossians 3. For Christ is your life. And see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. And his lips that they speak no guile. Let him what? Ensure evil or and do good. And let him seek peace and ensure it. You see, the word contentment. This is a conversation that lies there. Because why make me complain? Most of the time, because I'm not contented. I'm not contented with my salary. I fed, instead of me to give God thanks, though the salary may not be enough, my business may not be making no money. Instead of thanksgiving, he's complaining, murmuring. But don't know that those things make me unclean. They defy my stream. They defy my heart. For it's not what comes out of a man that is, it is what enters into a man. When I say those things, I enter into what God is trying to put away. What God is to put, I defy my sanctuary. I defy the sanctuary. What God is trying to make clean. God is trying to make new. I come back to defy them. Man, God is marking witnesses. A good witness. These are things that God looks for. God looks at God and says, wow. With what is going through, he has never complained. With what is going through, he has never murmured. Those are things. Everybody is complaining and murmuring now. But God is looking at us. Are we also joining there to murmur? Bible said, when people say there's a castaway, let's say there's a lifting up. When people are saying, to Isaiah, so in Isaiah 9, he said, do not call confederacy, they are confederacy. Don't call what they call, they are called. That's why he has stopped saying some things. You must stop it because those things are unclean. They make you, they defy you. They defy you. Bible says, let your word be seasoned with grace. With grace. That you may minister grace. They can edify those who hear you. Those are areas we must push into. Those are areas we must press into. Those are holinesses that we must come into God's people. This year, God said, he wants to make us to be children in wood. There is no what? Blemish. Those are things we are hand-calling as a local assembly. We want to become without blemish by our speech. We say, let your commission become saints, but let it not be once near among you. No, that become a saint. I pray for us that we find great mercy and find great help.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.